Welcome to the Dynamics Hot Dish Podcast. Whether you're a tech enthusiast or novice, there's something here for everyone. I'm Liz.
And I'm Allie, and together we're your hosts.
Join us as we dive into the world of technology, implementation, and management.
From hearing expert insights to exploring inspiring stories of tech impact, we cover it all.
We'll interview technology users, configurators, and leaders where we discuss driving effective tech adoption in businesses.
Tune in to laugh, learn, and leverage the power of technology. The future is tech-driven. Let's navigate it together. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dynamics Hot Dish. Liz and I are taking an interesting approach to this episode and the next few episodes that we're going to have here. So to kind of lay the foundation for you, the reason I say that this is interesting is because you all know we're very much in the Microsoft Dynamics customer engagement, CE, CRM space, Power Platform space. And what we really wanted to talk about is how CE interacts with other Dynamics products. And I think this kind of stemmed from pain points that we've had, which I think is truly like where a lot of our episodes come from.
Yeah, an offline conversation of us talking about a project one of us is working on and kind of being like, oh, I didn't know this, or I learned this, or this was really difficult.
Right. And like, why doesn't this work better? Yeah. So really what we're going to be talking about today is how CE interacts or doesn't interact with other platforms, kind of lay down our experiences with integrations, and that's the direction we'll be going. We have a couple episodes coming up with some special guests where we're going to be talking specifically about Business Central, BC, and finance and supply chain, FNSCM, FNO, whatever, you know,
that whatever one. The acronym is these days.
So really that's where we're going to start today, and keep an eye out for those upcoming episodes as well, because I love this. Again, I care about this a lot because I've been working on what we call multi-workload projects, where it's going to be a CE application and an ERP application like BC and finance and operations. There's a lot of organizations that are looking to do this now because they have people on both sides, right? We like to look holistically at projects and looking at entire work streams. So from start to finish. And when you do that, usually an entire work stream doesn't occur in one application.
Never. Right? Yeah. That's why they both exist.
Yep, exactly. So I guess with that, kind of getting into it here, but Liz, how have you worked with CE, CRM, and kind of integrating it to ERP platforms in the past?
My knowledge and experience is very old at this point, since I haven't been in a consulting role where I've needed to do that for a while. So I'd say at least 4 years since I've had that. But I'm looking at it from the lens of a business leader, a business owner. TechFluent is a business. We're incredibly small, and in full transparency, we use QuickBooks. We just got QuickBooks. But I am in the what I like to call the swivel chair scenario, where you have two systems. You have your ERP and your CRM, and they're not connected. And I'm having to do manual data entry, re-entry, because we don't have an integration yet. And so I want to talk about it and look at it from the lens of, why is it so important to integrate, and how does that help you just improve your processes and improve efficiency and the importance of that, especially as your business grows? Like, TechFluent isn't there today, but obviously as we grow and mature as a business, like, that would be the end state that we're going for.
I love that you guys have evolved to QuickBooks. You know,
yeah, we started with Excel. Yeah. When you have no employees and no money, like, you don't need an ERP system.
100%. And I think that's applicable for so many other businesses out there, right? Like, a lot of companies are ran on Excel for an ERP system. And I think QuickBooks is a great starting block for you. And I think, you know, exactly like you guys are doing at TechFluent, a lot of other businesses do. So you Excel, QuickBooks, and then you can start thinking ERP system.
Business Central. Yeah. And I've been asked, like, why aren't you on Business Central? And I'm like, because we're not big enough yet. It doesn't make sense yet. So.
Right. And there's a lot of setup that goes into those ERP applications as well. So if you don't have a need for it, you know, it can come down the line for sure. And it's kind of like game planning long term of where do you envision your company going and then determining the right timeline for you and when you should implement something like that.
Yeah. And so I will speak to kind of what I do still get asked about, or I think common questions that I've seen on projects where you do go to integrate. And I think one of the most confusing points, and Allie, I'd love your fresh perspective on this since mine is stale, is that like finance and supply chain and Business Central and CRM are all under the Dynamics umbrella and sold as Dynamics. And so I think sometimes when a business is new and purchases both, they think they're just one system, they integrate seamlessly, they're all in the Power Platform, they're all in the Dataverse by default. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we're to that point yet. Like, you still have to manually intervene and make that integration happen. And they're not just all living in the same Dataverse database from day one out of the box.
Absolutely. And honestly, I've made that mistake in the past as well. Like, way back when we first went to Dynamics 365 for customer engagement, and I learned that there are these other ERP applications out there that all fall under the same Dynamics 365 umbrella, I was like, why aren't we using this? You know, the company I was using SAP, and I was like, why are we using an ERP system? Because, like, they can just be integrated. They fall under the same umbrella. No, that's really not the case. And even back then, tools like DualWrite, which you can use to integrate customer engagement or Dataverse with finance and operations, didn't exist. So whether you have SAP, finance and operations, or AX, maybe it would have been back then, you're still building out a custom integration, right? So really, it didn't matter which ERP solution you picked if you're working with Microsoft CRM, because you had to build out a custom integration to any of those solutions. So yeah, so I love that you called that out. But that's also still the case today. Microsoft has created a couple new tools that are available for us to use for integrating. DualWrite is a big one. I've been doing a lot of work in DualWrite. It lives within finance and operations. So depending upon what workload you work on, it's usually or should be across collaboration between your CE or Dataverse teams and your finance and operation teams to identify what to map. But DualWrite's cool because it's like a configurable type integration. So you go in, you have out of the box tables and setup, tables and entities set up. So you can say, I want to integrate my accounts from CE to customers in F&O, and you can turn on that map and all the default fields show up in there for you. So it's a really good starting point. You, of course, have to validate your data, especially if you're doing customizations in either system. You may have to do maps to map choice values, right? So if you have your drop-down list with a bunch of values, you need to identify which one goes to which so they map up appropriately. So there is some manual work to do in there, but I like it. I know even some of my teammates might disagree with me on that one, but I like it because I think it's a really good starting point to make integrations a little bit more simpler between the systems.
It sounds pretty like point and click. Like, you don't need to be a super technical person to get that up and running.
You don't. Yeah, not necessarily. You can get it up and running. There's a whole lot of, I guess I'll say, learnings that go along with it of things that don't quite work as perfectly as you would expect it to. So you might need to get a little bit more technical of an eye in there to identify, you know, why things aren't matching up. But for the most part, you can get it set up and get it working out of the box relatively quickly, I would say.
Are there any big gotchas or limitations that you've run into with DualWrite?
There's a couple of things. I think one thing that really stands out to me since you asked that question is when you do like your initial sync, which basically means you set up your connections, you can do a sync to get the data from one system to the other so it matches up exactly. They export as CSV files. So if you're trying to like map fields that have commas in them, they kind of error. So So I've run into some problems with that before. So just there's some like little gotchas like that over the way where you're looking at them and you're like, what does this error even mean? So it can be like very, very specific. The other thing is in finance and operations applications, there's a concept of like date effective, which impacts dual write quite a bit. And I say that because date effective isn't really a thing in CE. So if you are like making updates to a contract or something, it will stay in finance and operations and then just kind of like expire, get a new date assigned. I'm probably explaining this terribly. Someone from finance and operations is probably cringing, but you're basically, keeping that same record, but it's like versions are stored against it, I guess. And in CE, you only really have that one record. So there's certain things that are kind of can get a little confusing when with the date effective tables.
How about for Business Central integrations to CRM?
So Business Central has the Dataverse connector, which also has a lot of gotchas, but again, it's kind of a good starting point. I also know that with both of these solutions, the reason it's good to still get a technical person involved is to make sure that they're the right solution. So I know there's still considerations that you want to make in terms of data volumes that are going to be going back and forth, making sure that the Dataverse connector is going to be a stable point, especially if you're doing a lot of heavy data transfer between your two environments. If you have incredibly high amounts of volume, the connector might not be your answer. What you might want to do instead is find a solution for a custom integration, whether that's Power Automate, whether that's another solution. So there is still that like analysis that you want to do to make sure that these out of the box available connections are the right ones for you to use.
And when you say high amounts of data, I'm thinking like our end users might not know what we mean. Is there a ballpark range of when you've seen the data connector not work because of that threshold?
That's a good question. I don't know offhand. I could get that information from some of my teammates for sure. I am by no means an expert in the Dataverse
Let's
connector.
try to put it in the show notes. Yeah. And I'm thinking like a ballpark. Like, are we talking about tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands? Is it frequency or is it just like number of rows? Like, these are all the questions I'm wondering right now.
All right, Liz, we'll get you some answers. We'll talk to some
Thanks.
people with the answers in the show notes.
And maybe our guests, our future guests, will be able to weigh in on it
That's
too.
a really good thought too. I think we should pepper in with all the really hard questions.
Stump the guest. So you brought up like Power Automate, third party, middleware, kind of other integration platform tools. What are the other options if dual write or the data connector aren't the best solution?
That's also a good question that I cannot answer.
Okay. Ellie, you are a resident expert on this topic.
Resident, but that doesn't mean industry expert. Yeah, I would say, when we're talking integrations, the real solutions come down to more technical folks, right? So a lot of times, like, I'm not designing integrations. I'm really helping on the functional side of the integrations and kind of mapping things together and making sure that things are working as expected afterwards. But when it comes down to technical design, that's not my ballpark. So other people might have better information on that too, but Power Automate's an option I've seen. Azure integration using Azure services is another option that I've seen used as well. But really, right, coming from Microsoft Shop, those are my two Microsoft answers, and there might be other solutions out there as well, depending upon what the need is.
Fair. One thing I feel like I've been in a lot of conversations about is the debate of like, what is the master data of record? And like, what tables and columns, are the master is CRM versus it's coming from ERP. And I've seen that done differently, like business to business, but I think there is probably a kind of a standard best practice. But it obviously always depends on the business scenario and the requirements. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so that comes up a lot, especially when you're trying to figure out like what is the source of truth, right? That's kind of the tag that comes along with it. And I think by default, a lot of times it's going to be your ERP system, truthfully. I think that there's a lot more data governance that happens in your ERP system as opposed to your CRM system. CRM is kind of let people in there, let them loose, let them create leads, let them create stuff that isn't going to be converted into customers. But then when you're talking financials, right, those have to be correct. You need to send your invoices to the right places. You need to have your financial documents going to the right place. You need to have, you know, federal tax IDs and all of that tied to your customers in the ERP system. So I've seen a lot of times, like, customers, perfect one. Your ERP system is going to be your source of truth, right? Mm-hmm. Product data, a lot of times your ERP system is going to be your source of truth. There's just a higher level of detail in the ERP system as well. But that also doesn't mean that certain things can't happen in the CRM system. I think early on, we were talking about looking at a full work stream process. And we can kind of expand upon that with the customer creation. So when you first want to onboard a new customer, your sales team is probably finding them somewhere, right? So your sales and marketing teams are probably working together, probably generating some leads. Your salespeople are going to work those. They're going to convert them into a customer. So a lot of times what happens is that customer creation process starts in your CRM system, right? And then there might need to be some validation steps that take place before it can go into your ERP system. You might have some stage gates put in place to prevent customers from going from your CRM system into the ERP system until certain fields are validated with information. But then, you know, you might have a point where you're like, all right, once it's in the ERP system, I don't want anyone to be able to change my customers in CRM. I want to lock down all the data. I don't want them to change names, all that kind of stuff. So it really is looking at the need there.
And I'm going to throw out the common sales or customer service person's perspective, because I've been on those projects where they're like, lock it down, ERP is the source of truth. But they're going to say, what if this is the legal account name, but it's not the like a name they're going by, or I want to refer to them as? Or what if, like, okay, this is, you know, finances email and address and phone number, but this is not my main point of contact from a sales or service perspective. What's your answer to that then?
Yeah, so that's a good, and honestly, that's a good one because it comes up a lot. I know there's been instances where we'll do like a doing business as in addition to the account name. So you just have like the primary account name that integrates over, but then you might have another field that's like a what I call them, what customer service calls them. I know one of the other handcuffs that customer service teams especially don't like is like being able to update contact information. So like a lot of times your customer service teams are the ones that people are calling and saying, hey, I need you to update the address on my account to be this. And if you handcuff them from being able to do that in the system that they work in, then you're creating more potentially unnecessary process where you might have to then, well, customer service takes it. They write in an email, they send the email to the finance team who can then update the address. So you really don't want to create more work for your teams too.
Yeah. It's that fine line of kind of data quality compared to, yeah, like making it overly burdensome, like harder for people to update data. Yeah.
For sure. And stage gates, right? Or like approvals. You can have approvals to approve certain data before it goes places, but just still trying to make it as automated as possible. That's kind of the whole point of integration is you want, you said swivel chair earlier, right? You don't want swivel chair. You want to get away from that. So
that's what we're, that's what we're trying to solve. Yeah. And like, it's so easy to add new columns, new fields into CRM. So it's like, you can have your still your field, your data point that's coming from ERP, but then just add more fields or let them add more records to track the data points they need to do their day-to-day job in customer service or sales. So it's so flexible, it's so extendable. So you can just kind of, I feel like, try to find that happy medium and accommodate both teams' needs.
I love that. That's like the ultimate goal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else do you feel like we should cover or be thinking about from like the CRM, ERP, better together conversation?
I think the one thing I would just call out to is for folks like us, you know, who work on primarily CRM projects, integrations are super common. They come up a lot. It's as someone who works on CRM projects, we integrate very frequently to prevent that swivel chair type work. And I kind of look at CRM systems as the starting point a lot of the time. So I gave the customer example earlier, right? Your salespeople are the ones generating new leads. They're the ones converting customers. So they're probably going to start there. You'll have some process to then get them into the ERP system where they're then validated and kept over there as the source of truth. But there's also other things that originate in the CRM system, right? Quotes, potentially orders. It's anything that kind of originates in that CRM system and then gets sent over to the ERP system. And integrations are so important to be detailed on for that exact reason, because if something's required in the ERP system and you don't enter it in CRM, you're going to get errors. So there really, really does need to be that partnership between your CRM folks and your ERP folks when you're building out an integration to make sure that, like, the drop-down values match, the required fields match, terminology is similar, right? Because you want to avoid as many errors as possible when you're building those integrations too.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than building out an integration, having someone hit save, and then they're instantly getting this ridiculous error. That the user has no idea what it means, and they're just like, I just really want to create this quote. I don't know why.
I know the ERP systems come with some light CRM functionality too. And I know we've chatted about this offline. I don't know if we've chatted about it on an episode, but we sometimes when people are like, oh yeah, I'm on Dynamics CRM, they really mean that they're using Finance and Supply Chain or Business Central and then using the light CRM functionality in there. So maybe we should just spend like a few minutes and speak to, like, if you aren't on true CRM today, and that is the situation you're in, why is real CRM, what do we call it? The standalone CRM apps, like, better than that, the light functionality you have within one of the ERP systems?
I will say, I just got off of a BC project, and even talking to my teammates then about the integration here is, we were talking about, like, contacts, where should contacts live? Where should contacts lie? And right away, my own BC team said, ooh, contact management in BC is terrible. And so, I think that's a very CRM function, right? Is keeping track of your contacts. And what I learned is in BC, for every customer that you have, there's a contact that corresponds with that customer. And it's the customer. It's a business. It's not a person. So you have a contact for the business. And then you have, like, the people associated with the business contact, and then you can add the people contacts as the primary contact. So it's kind of this, like, web of contact associations, as opposed to in, to use Liz's word, real CRM. I'll say in the sales app, in the Dynamics 365 sales app, in there, it's a little bit more linear and easier to follow, right? So you have, like, this person is associated with this customer, and this person is the primary contact for this customer. And so it's a little bit easier to follow. And so I would just say that based off my experience, CE, CRM, sales app, whatever, it's built for managing those types of relationships. It's built for managing activities and opportunities. And so it's easier to follow. It's more streamlined. Microsoft puts resources in there to make sure it makes sense, as opposed to in the ERP systems, a lot of the resources are going towards the ERP functions.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe we've gotten to this point because all the systems kind of originated on their own and now they've been combined. Because I think about it in the sales app, let's say, we have invoices. Like you mentioned, typically like quotes or orders is where the handoff occurs from sales to ERP. Like, I would never invoice out of the sales app. I don't think I ever have. If that's in there, it's like an integration and it's read-only and it's feeding from the ERP system. So like CRM has kind of those leftover tidbits of ERP functionality in there, but we just don't deploy them or use them, especially not standalone. Have you ever seen the invoice table used on its own?
No. And even when I've done like platform training before, we kind of glaze past invoices. We're like, yeah, it's in there. It's in the sitemap by default, but we'll never use it. I have seen it, like you said, where if organizations want their sales team to have visibility into invoices, integrate them over, make them read only. You can't change anything. It just gives you visibility into like basic invoice information. But I've never seen people invoice out of CRM.
Yeah. So both systems kind of have that as like functionality that's not its core focus that got added in at some point and doesn't get a lot of updates or investments. I also don't feel like the quote order and invoice have like ever improved in CRM.
They're very, the processes for them are very, very similar over time.
Yeah. Definitely not the focus.
No. Yeah. Okay, the other call out there is just like I said, all of this should be partnership between your CRM teams and your ERP teams. So like meet early on in projects, talk about where the source of truth should be, talk about process together, meet and talk about process. What's that quote process look like? When does the order get into the ERP system? Where do you want people to be creating and managing data? It should be truly a team effort as you work through implementing CRM and ERP softwares together.
And document the flow and document data mapping. Like that's going to be really important for integration. And I'm not a big fan of documentation, but for integrations, you definitely need it.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. That's what I got. I think that, you know, teeing it up to pull in some experts from finance and operations and Business Central, so we can continue asking them all the hard questions that I cannot answer about those platforms. But yeah, we hope that this lays the foundation and gives some tips for doing some general integrations.
Thanks for tuning in to Dynamics Hot Dish, your go-to podcast for all things Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to follow us on social media for even more insights and updates on the latest trends and best practices in business applications and low-code development. We'll be back soon with another delicious serving of Dynamics and Power Platform goodness. Until then, keep innovating and building great solutions.